What's up, family? It's After Church. Yep, it's After Church. Did y'all even go to church today? Who am I? Why did I even? Anyway, welcome to another episode of The Manhood. My After Church series. This one is a little late. Man, it's been an interesting day. Let me tell you, it's been an interesting day. I am truly, I am amazed. You know, I'm truly amazed at God's grace. I am truly amazed at His grace. When you understand, the more you understand who God is, and the more you understand who you are and what you don't deserve, I don't know how you come to any other conclusion other than His grace is amazing. So anyway, He showed His amazing grace again today. Instead of talking about whatever the pastor talked about today, I have some other things I want to talk to you about. It's still After Church series, right? So it's still going to be directing you towards God, but, you know, a little different way. So I was watching a podcast earlier today on Jackie Hill Perry and her husband, Preston. I was watching their podcast, and they had I know the brother's name is not Michael Philip Thomas. I'm new to him. I've only seen him a couple of times, but very biblically based preacher. That sounds crazy. Like, what other kind of preacher is it supposed to be? Woo, we live in America. But I watched a podcast, and the name of the podcast was The State of the American Church. And it was really, really good. And some of the things that the guest was sharing, man, he was, you know, there was a time in my life, even though I grew up Pentecostal, there was a time in my life where the things he was saying would have sounded radical to me. Like, man, you sound like first century Christians. I mean, like, as if that is something bad. But anyway, just listening today, I listened to most of it in the car, you know, to and from the store. And but then when I got home, I continued to listen to it. And I must say, I was truly convicted. I watched it knowing that I would agree with most of what they were saying, because I've been saying that the American church is not a biblical Christian church. But I wasn't expecting the conviction. I really wasn't. And so the conviction was there. And so let's just say that's simmering. God is cooking up something that's simmering. So I go on throughout my day, and, you know, I'm thinking about, okay, I need to do the podcast or whatever, but I'm in the garage and I'm listening to, old school John P. Key, My Mind Is Made Up. Right. And if you're not a John P. Key fan, I don't know, why are you even a Christian if you're not a John? I'm kidding. So check this out. I'm listening to the song, and I know pretty much all the words to all John P. Key songs up until his Not Guilty album. After that, I don't know nothing. But these Eagles are killing these boys. And so, what was I at? Oh, I'm listening to John P. Key. And so here are the words of the song, right? Since I met the Lord, my mind is made up to go with Jesus all the way. I'm on the right track. There's no turning back. I'm satisfied with God. Nobody can hold me. Nobody can mold me. Nobody can show me like you, Jesus. Listen, I love the words. And I can identify with all of those words, messages, or whatever, except one part. Okay? So I'm in the garage. Song is playing. And I'm listening. And I'm singing. And I'm drilling. I was taking some screws out of this wood, right? And so I'm singing, and it gets to the part where John says, those that are really satisfied with Jesus, stand up on your feet. And I just pause. I said, wait a minute. I don't know why, but I understand now that I believe that that was God, right? I've learned that recently because I've sung this. I've heard and sung this song many a times, countless times, but I stopped. And I said, I don't think that I've ever been satisfied with God. And I thought, and I said, no, I don't think I've ever truly been satisfied with Christ alone. And for a second, I just sat there and just kind of like in a daze. And I thought about it more, and then I got, you know, slightly emotional, but not like, you know, crying emotional, right? I just got, you know, I could feel emotions. So I texted a pastor friend of mine. I told him what I just discovered and said, you know, pray for me. And I said, you know, this is really heavy for me. And before I could send the text, then the wave of emotions came and they overtook me because it was so heavy because... I would have never, when I say never, I mean never, ever would I have guessed that that was my reality. I mean, my mind was blown. And the thing is, my mind probably should not have been blown because earlier this year when I was, you know, deep diving into Timothy Keller, God exposed a light to, shone a light on my my issues with idolatry and human love. And right. So I already knew that was there, but for whatever reason, this kind of knocked me over. And so I'm in the garage and I'm, you know, and I'm crying and you know, once I get myself together, my eyes are burning. It feels like I got hot coals on my eyes. My eyes are burning. Right. And then, you know, I get myself together. I send the text. Okay. I'm sitting there just chilling, right? Sitting there just chilling. And then, you know, I was just shaking my head. I was like, man, all this time I've been living my life. And, you know, I said, as much as I love God, it's crazy that I hadn't been living like it. And it's like more waterworks, like extra water. The levee's broke. Y'all not even. Yeah, the levees broke when I thought about the fact that I know I love God, but my life, not being just satisfied with him and the way that it looks, man, it's like you love him, but that ain't how you who can tell, you know? And obviously it made me think about his grace, right? And how amazing God's grace is, man. And you know, one of the things that, let me tell you what one of the things that convicted me from the podcast that maybe carried over, when the brother was saying how, you know, he got to a place where he completely sold out to Christ. Now, I'll be honest in saying I truly thought that I was sold out for Christ, right? But listening to him, literally, you know, his prayer life and, you know, and I'm just saying what he's saying. Like, I ain't there. I know folk can lie and, you know, what I ain't in all of that. But, you know, just talking about how, you know, what his desires are. Like, you know, he truly, you know, desires Christ more than anything. The only thing that, you know, he wants more than to be praying, literally, he said, is spending time with his wife, being intimate with his wife and being with his children. Other than that, he wants to be praying. And so anyway, whether that's extreme or not, that's not the point. But I think that kind of, you know, and so then the song and hearing those words. And why am I sharing this with you? Just because it's testimony service? No, it's not testimony service, even though I did grow up Pentecostal. Right? Don't get it twisted. You know, we can have some testimony service. Amen. Speaking of testimony service, no, I'm not going to do it. Speaking of testimony service, I remember one time, this is going to be funny. Listen, I remember one, funny to me. I can't think about it without laughing. We was in church and this lady stood up behind me. Lord have mercy. This lady stood up behind me. She was giving a testimony. Now, I don't know what she was saying. Like, I don't remember. I only remember the part that was funny. Here's what she said. I'm sorry. You might not even, now, be mindful. You might not find this funny. Okay? This is hilarious to me, as you can probably tell. You might not find this funny. But here's what she said. She's giving a testimony. She's, at some point, she said, and I broke two of my legs. Bro, do you know how hard it was for me to hold in my laugh? I'm sitting right in front, literally like right in front of her. You broke two of your legs? Well, how many did you have left after that? Like, you broke two. Do you mean you broke both of your legs? And listen, I'm not the word police. I am not the one to be judging anybody's speech, language. I stumble and fumble over my words all of the time. However, that was funny. That baby said, I broke two of my legs. And I promise you, the thought came right to my head. Well, how many of you got left? Ooh, help me, Holy Ghost. Listen, let me get back to what I was saying. God Almighty. Okay. I needed that laugh. Maybe y'all did too. Maybe you didn't laugh. Will he get back to the point? Yes. So, what I was saying earlier, and why am I sharing this with you? Not just because it's testimony service, but because there's an application for you. So, ask yourself this. The things that matter to you, whatever it is, whatever matters to you on the planet, whether it's your children, whether it's your family, your wife, your computer, your job, your clothes, your hair, your teeth, you know, your Bible, your church, whatever matters to you on the planet. Ask yourself this question. Why does it matter? Where did you get that value from for that to matter? Where did it come from? Where did you get that value? Why am I asking that? Because wherever you got it from, it cannot and will not ever supersede the value of Christ being in your life. Now, well, you just saying that because of what you just went through. No, sir, I have scripture. I was reading Solomon today. And I was actually reading in my Bible, I was reading the introduction to Ecclesiastes, right? And so as I'm reading that, it hit me. Before I even got into the book, a thought hit me. God is the one that gave Solomon wisdom and wealth. But then I kept reading. I get to chapter 2. Chapter 2, at least the first part, is all about the wisdom, the money, the luxury, everything that he lived, everything that he done. And then he says, all of it is vanity, meaning all of it is meaningless. That got me to thinking. Whatever matters to you, whatever you desire, you know, like you may have heard me mention, I want an F-150 Raptor, black, but I'm not going to get black because I'm not washing it every day. But you know, we all want something. And I don't think it's wrong to want things. I'm not, that's not what this is about. But we all want something. But what are you willing to do to get it? And some of us, so let me be clear, I'm not just talking about tangible things. Some of you want respect from your wife that you're not getting. Some of you want love from your wife that you're not getting. Some of you want sex from your wife that you're not getting, right? All of us want some things that you either don't have yet or can't get. Where'd you get that value from? But ultimately, why does it matter to you? Because it's like, you know, I can't be happy until I get that thing. I can't be good until you give me that. I can't be loving until you treat me this way. Well, the thing is, even when they whenever they change, whatever they're going to change, it still isn't going to bring you any more joy than it's not going to bring you what you think it's going to bring you. It's not going to give you ultimate fulfillment. So Solomon, wisest man to ever live, richest man to ever live. And he was given both of those by God. So listen to what I'm saying. Solomon, who was favored by God, blessed by God, took his wealth and his wisdom, served God for a little while, but chased after pagan women and God, got caught up in idolatry and all kind of foolishness. At the end of his life, he comes back and says, I had everything in the world and I did not get it criminally, right? So he's not speaking from the context of someone who is outside of God's will. I've had everything in life that a man can have. And I'm telling you, none of it matters if Christ isn't at the center of your life. That's essentially the message of Ecclesiastes. Y'all want to be grammatically, theologically, unless God is at the center. That somebody was stumbling over that, right? But he says, all is vanity, like nothing. He says nothing in all of creation can satisfy you. Nothing. And here we are. Here I am. Here we is. Here I is. Here we are chasing the love and approval of people so that we'll feel good in a moment, so that we'll believe that we're valuable when we actually don't believe that, right? I need you to believe it so I can believe it. All for human approval, all so that we can believe that we feel good, and at the end of the day, it will make our lives no better. At the end of the day, you will be no more secure. You will feel no more loved. You will have no more hope than you had the day before if you are not rooted and grounded in Jesus. I'm telling you, this is what I believe. You can ignore this message if you want. I didn't. I know that I need Christ at the center of my life. So, and here's the thing. Maybe this will help you. This is something I thought about. At a conscious level, I know that Christ should be enough, right? My all in all. Like if I got Christ, that should be enough to sustain me no matter what. I know that I should be satisfied with Christ alone. So my conscious mind knows it. It's my subconscious mind. It's my internal me. It's my spirit man. It's not my spirit man. It's my mind. My natural mind needs to be submitted to the sovereign rule of reign of Christ. That means brought into the kingdom. So that then my inner me will connect with the outer me, meaning my conscious mind. And I can then live out what I say I believe. Because I hope you know, you can't live out anything that you don't believe internally. Did you know that? If you don't believe it internally, you cannot live it. It's not possible. Right? And when I say live it, I mean live it authentically. Because when you're living in a closet, when you're living a lie, you're dying faster. Right? That's not living. But I came by, stopped by, dropped by. I'm passing through just to tell you. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Y'all don't like my singing skills? I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. But listen, you need to make Christ your center. If you are a man trying to run a family, you need Christ at the center. If you are a man trying to run a business, you need Christ at the center. If you are a man who married the wrong woman, you need Christ at the center. Because this life, anything in this creation, your wife and nothing else, is going to bring you ultimate fulfillment, because there's a God-sized hole inside of you. And God is the only one that can fill it. I'm telling you what I know. Let the message that I got this evening be a message to you. Okay, fellas? Pray for me. I'll pray for you. But submit your life to the Sovereign King and let him rule and reign over your life. Y'all take care.